আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়া কাফা ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমা কাসীরা কাসীরা। আম্মা বা'দু, ফাকাদ ক্বালা আল্লাহু তাবারাকা ওয়া তাআলা, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر، كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون، كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also those sisters who may be listening over the receivers, this surah is well known. It is recited by us in salat. Little children learn it at the madrasas. But we do not ponder and reflect over its meaning. Therefore, just as I was discussing in the tafsir of Surah Zilzal, that the recitation of this surah many, many times also does not seem to have much impact on our hearts, because we don't reflect, because we don't look into the meaning, into the tafsir of these verses of the Quran Sharif. Whereas nowadays we have plenty of authentic tafsirs available in the English language, so we cannot have any excuse. Nevertheless, very brief discussion of this surah without going into the technical discussion, or without going into any details or exact translation, etc., we have to understand the meaning of this surah and the import of its verses. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Alhaakumut takasur. The word takasur has got a connotation of mutual rivalry in the piling up of worldly goods or anything of that nature. When there is mutual rivalry, then we say that there's takasur. So the Quran Sharif is giving us a message. Although there are incidents that took place after which this surah was revealed. For example, it is mentioned that there were two tribes, the Banu Haris and the Banu Harisa. And there was such mutual rivalry amongst them, between them, that first of all they started bragging and boasting about the amount of people that they had in their clan. Some other tribes have been mentioned to be discussing the same thing too, that they were bragging, that this one said that we have more people, the other one said that we have more people. Then this one said that who has such brave persons as we have? And they listed a number of names and said, so and so in our family, in our tribe, in our clan, he has got this quality and that quality, and he's brave, and he's got plenty of wealth, and he's got so many properties. And they went on bragging. So the other side, they began bragging about their family, their clan, their tribe, and the possessions that they have and the properties that they own. So they began to brag about that. So much so that two tribes, after that, ended in the Qabristan. They finished counting those who were living. Now they even went to the Qabristan and they said, this grave here, so and so is resting here. And is there anyone in your tribe who was as great as he was in bravery, in wealth? Then the other one said that, but we have got in our family so and so. Now they started counting the graves also. They went to that extent that they forgot what purpose they had been sent in this world for. So So the Quran Sharif talks about those kuffar that were bragging, but the lesson is there for everyone. There are other incidents where it is for the Muslims also. So for us also there is a lesson that this bragging that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is displeased with. And what does it do? It makes the person ghafil anil akhirah. It makes him forget the hereafter. It makes him forget that there is a purpose in life. It makes him forget that there is going to be a day of judgment. It makes him forget that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not judge a person by the amount of wealth he owns or possesses, or his body strength, or the number of people in his family and clan and tribe. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not look at all those things. Allah Ta'ala looks at taqwa. So the person forgets all these things. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرْ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. That this mutual rivalry of piling up, it made you forget Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It made you forget the Akhirat. It made you forget the Day of Judgment. It made you forget Jannat and Jahannam, Hisab, Kitab, until you reach the graves, until death came over you. Until death comes over that person, the person is just, he's got a passion, he's got a greed for accumulation of wealth, property. He believes that that is the only way that I will remain above others. And in the process, that greed leads him to such a level that he forgets even the purpose of his existence. In the accumulation of that material wealth and goods and property, the person even forgets his own self. He even forgets his own family. He forgets his own children. How does he forget his own family and children? That the person is trying to accumulate the maximum. Again, we must not misunderstand. To earn halal livelihood is a teaching of Sharia. But we are talking of greed, where the person has lost his mind and his soul. He has given himself to nafs and shaitan. That there is nothing but greed and the passion to increase and multiply. And as a result, I said, he forgets his family and his children too. There are so many people in the world who are working from 7 to 7, day and night, 7 days a week, unconcerned what is the state of their family, what is unconcerned about the state of their children. When they leave home, the children are asleep, and when they return, the children are asleep. They have got no time for the education of the children, no time to even spend that wealth which they are accumulating and piling up. And in the process, please do forgive me if anyone feels offended or hurt, but what can we do except say certain things with deep-hearted pain, that in the process they even make other people lose their support of the family, or they make other people who work for them, they make them deprived of the time that they would have given to their families. They have no time. Somebody is sick in the family, there's mayyat in the family, or the education of the children, or spending some quality time with the family and children. Nothing, they are deprived, because the person is desperate, he needs a job. What is he going to do? He's got no option. It's a take it or leave it kind of thing. So he says, if you have to work for me, then it's a 7-day job. You have to work 7 to 7 or 6 to 6. Brothers, when will this person have any time then for his family? When he's going to come home, he's going to be exhausted. What are we doing in the process to our own iman and ourselves? If that person is desperate, what is he going to do except besides accepting that job? But we have destroyed his family life. We have destroyed his family life altogether. And we will be responsible and answerable to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And not only that, whilst working they have got no time also for Salat. This is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is warning us about. That this passion and this greed for the accumulation of wealth makes a person forget Allah Ta'ala, forget the Akhirat. Until his death comes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that man says, my wealth, my wealth. What is his wealth? That which he ate and he digested, that is his. That which he wore and the clothes got torn, that was his wealth. Or that which he sent ahead of him by giving charities, that is his wealth. Whatever he is going to leave behind is going to be for his heirs. He is not going to be able to use that. How many people we know that they were accumulating, piling and piling, and now they did not know what to do with that pile up. So they said, now transfer it overseas. So they transferred it overseas, and for what? They said, one day if we go there and settle, then we will be able to use that wealth. But they were not given an opportunity by death to go and make use of that wealth overseas. Then again they left a big problem for the heirs to bring that wealth back. And because there were only one or two people that really knew in which accounts those monies were, so they left another big family squabble. This is what we are saying, that earn, there is no harm. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself has ordered us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has directed us. But to reach that stage where the person forgets Allah himself, who is the giver of that wealth, and in the process he destroys his own family life and the family life of others, then that is something that is very dangerous. And we have to take stock of these type of actions of ours. A person must sit sometimes and take a stock of his life. Where am I? Where am I heading for? What am I doing in my life? Am I on the right track, or have I gone off the road? If he has taken a wrong road, then if he carries on, he will go further away. He must stop and return. So it is necessary that the person, whoever is involved in this kind of life, then he must stop and take a stock of himself, that if death comes tomorrow upon me, then what have I really achieved in life? And who is really interested in your wealth these days? Who is going to be really so happy and proud that you have got plentiful? Is there anyone these days, excepting the awliya-i-kiram and the ahlullah, and those who have purified their hearts of greed and of malice and of jealousy, is there anyone in the society that we can say that if he is informed that so and so has made so much of progress in material earnings, then he gets very happy and he says, MashaAllah, I'm very, very happy that you have been blessed with a good home and blessed with plenty of wealth and blessed with a very good car. Outwardly, sometimes they may even say it too, but nifaq and hypocrisy, as I discussed in one of the majlises 2 weeks ago, it is what we term as the currency of the time, that there's something else on the tongue and there's something else in the heart. On the tongue it is something else, and in the heart there's something else. Hypocrisy is at its height. So outwardly, even if the person says that I'm extremely happy to see you progress, but ask him what is going on in his heart and mind. Why else should people go around to sangomas and go around to people who make taweezes and go around to people who do jadu and seher, that make something for this person that his business must shut down, or this must happen to him, or that must happen to him? There's just one big racket that is out there, and for what? It is jealousy which has seeped into the hearts. But yet that same family member, that same friend, and that same associate will say that I'm extremely happy and pleased that you are making progress. So what I am saying is that sit and think. And brothers, I'm not telling you all this just from my head. Just recently one brother, he says, I was so desperate that I just had to go to one of the Sangoma kind of people. He says, I was so desperate because I was suffering from so many kinds of problems. And he says, in my home and in my life and everywhere there was nothing but disaster. Of course there's so much of bogus, there are so many bogus people in this whole Taweez business and such matters, but as far as the sickness is concerned, or jadu and seher is concerned, we believe that it is true. Of course it doesn't mean that every person who has got a mild headache also then he's got seher and jadu, as the Taweez walas will tell us. And then they will say, keep coming, first time so much and second time so much. But this person says, I was desperate and I went. He says, I know I did a wrong thing, but what could I do? I was so desperate. He says, then I brought this woman to the house, and she did whatever she had to do. And he says, then when I asked this Sangoma, that why is it that so many people are suffering from this kind of problem now? So she said, it's simple and easy. You place an order, like how you place order for goods, for a car, for something else. He says, you place an order that I want one tokloosh for so and so, or two tokloosh for so and so. So he says, we are in business. You place the order and we send. Now why should people go to that level if there was no jealousy? So it shows that in these days nobody is really happy also with that accumulation and that pile up. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to somebody, he must use it for himself, for his family, distribute, give charities, donate. There's no harm in that. But here what is referred to is that the person becomes ghafil from the akhirat. He just completely forgets that there is a hereafter. And there is nothing but mutual rivalry and bragging that I've got so much, he's got so much. If he's got so much, then I must exceed. If he invited 1,000 people, I must invite 1,500. If he invited 500, I must invite 1,000. If he can have this kind of a car, then I must have a car that is better than that. If he can live in this kind of a home, then I must have a home that's better than that. In everything, the person wants to be one above the other. Tujhe har waqt ye dhun hai, rahun sabse bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Tujhe har waqt ye dhun hai, rahun sabse bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Jiya karta hai kya, yun hi marne wala. Jiya karta hai kya, yun hi marne wala. Tujhe husne zahir ne dhoke me dala. Jaga ji lagane ki dunya nahi hai. Ye ibrat ki jahe tamasha nahi hai. Har waqt ye dun hai rahun sabse bala. Nothing else but this, that I must be above everyone else. My clothes must be better than everyone else's. My home must be better than everyone else's. My car must be better than everyone else's. In the process, the person goes to the banks and he borrows and he borrows and he borrows. Until death finally takes him away from this world, the person is in debts. And outwardly, he is just owning a lot of properties, a lot of properties. But everything is on bond, bond and bond. Who are we trying to fool and deceive? In the process, the person makes his own life miserable. And he leaves behind nothing but pain and suffering for his children also. So he says, Yehi har waqt tujhe dhun hai, that you want to be above everybody else. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Anything fashionable must come onto the market and we must buy that. We must be the owners of that fashion. Nobody else must exceed. Nobody else must be first. Nobody else must be before us in the wearing of that kind of garment. Particularly in a wedding or walima or something of that nature. There's just competition, mutual rivalry. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not stop us from competition. There should be competition. There should be this desire to excel. But in what? In the doing of good deeds, the person should try and excel and try to be above others. But here in this, he says that this is the condition. Jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala. The person who knows that one day he's going to turn to dust, is this his lifestyle on this earth? What is he killing himself for? Day and night, 24 hours of the day, nothing but how he can multiply, multiply and multiply. Look at the lives of those people who are engaged in a 7-day week job. Nothing, absolutely nothing they have to live for. They will continue and they will die and turn to dust. And what little they may have left behind or whatever they may have piled up, it will be for the heirs and they will fight over it after that. And after a few days, nobody will even remember who left it behind. They will even forget that father who forgot about his own self and forgot about his namazes and forgot about Allah Ta'ala, who accumulated all this and left it behind for him. So this is not something that a person should give his heart to. Repeatedly, this is what I am getting across to you, that make use of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala gives it to us in a halal way, without us forgetting Allah in the akhirat, if we are getting it easily in a halal way, then accept it from Allah ta'ala and make use of it. But always look at the graveyard and see the condition of the people who have turned to dust, so that we do not lose our balance. Jaisi karni vaisi bharni hai zarur, ek din mayyat qabr mein utarni hai zarur. The mayyat will have to descend into the qabr one day. and whatever we are doing, we are going to be rewarded for that. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Al-Hakumu Takathur Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir, until they reach the graves, meaning until they died. Until their death, this is what their lifestyle was, nothing but mutual rivalry in piling up. And in our times, we can extend the meaning of this, that this piling up could be even in technological research that the people are making and manufacturing. That there are so many people in the world that their mind is occupied with nothing but manufacture of new items, new items, new items. Whether it is computers or whether it's machinery or whether it is anything else, their whole day and night goes in nothing but to manufacture new items and to pile up. Again, there is no harm, but the person has forgotten, if he has forgotten Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the one that has put the effect in every item, then what is the purpose of that whole research? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that man says it's my wealth, but that is his wealth. What he has eaten and digested, what he wore and the clothes tore, or became old, and that which he sent ahead. Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if any person can read 1,000 ayats at night before going to bed, then he should read. So the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajmain said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who can read 1,000 ayats every night? He said, read Surah Takasur, Al-Hakumut Takasur. The reward of that is equivalent to the reward of the recitation of 1,000 ayats of the Quran Sharif. So there must be some reason why there's so much of virtue in the recitation of this surah. We haven't even started off with the explanation. So this mutual rivalry, says, it continues in the person's life, or it continued in their lives until they reached their deaths, until they reached their graves. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, لَوْ كَانَ لِيْبْنِ عَادَمْ وَادِيَانِ مِنْ ذَهَبْ لَبْتَغَى صَالِسًا. Even if a person has 2 valleys full of gold, he's going to search for the third one. That means his greed will have no limit. And the disaster that has been caused in the life of the majority of the Muslims is that greed is at a level. Not only in wealth, but in everything else. What is it that makes a person go and commit adultery when he has got a wife at home? What is it that makes a person who's got plenty of wealth still go and commit fraud? I was in a shop one day some years ago, and suddenly one non-Muslim manager of a bank, he walked into that shop. So the owner said that this is the manager of a certain bank. And after that, he entered into a discussion. So this person who was holding this high position in the bank, so he said that the solution to the problems of our country, he was talking about just about the election time it was, in the 94s. He said the solution to the problems of our country is education. That if everyone has top class education in this country, then all problems will be solved. So I said, I disagree with you. I've got no problem with education itself, but I don't consider that to be the solution to the problem of our country. Because if you are talking about crime and fraud and all these type of things, then why do we always read of white collar crime? Who are the people that commit that crime? They don't have education. They are the people who've got high degrees and high qualifications. They've got certificates hanging throughout their office. And they are the ones who commit the biggest crime. So if education could solve the problem, then they should not be the ones to be involved in crime. And even at present, if you have to take the parliaments of the world and the governments of the world and the cabinets of the world, where is the highest level of corruption? If that poor chap steals something from a supermarket of 10 rands, then they will arrest him and put him in prison. But they get away with millions and billions, and nobody really faces any kind of problem. So education hasn't solved the problem. Until they don't have this conscious awareness that there is a creator of this universe, he sent us into this world, we are answerable and we are accountable, and there is definitely going to be a day of judgment where we will be either rewarded with paradise for our good doings, or will be punished in the fire of hell. until a person does not believe in an all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, almighty God, I told him, until then you can never expect a solution to the problems of the world. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this surah, he says, Alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand these surahs and to make amal, because without amal we will get nowhere. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. InshaAllah we will continue with this. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.